Amen. Well, hello on Mardi Gras. I don't know if that's an official greeting, but it is Mardi Gras. Could we have that light on, please, there? Okay, our topic for tonight is to really focus on this change of words for many to for all. In the consecration of the wine. As issues go, you can't get any more serious than this, because we're talking about the very essence of the Mass. Does this invalidate the Mass? And the answer is, unfortunately, yes, it does invalidate the Mass. But so for many, that's what it has been since the time of our Lord. Our Lord said, for many. And in 1968, those words in the consecration of the wine those words for all were substituted for many. I can't tell you, well, I'll try to explain to you how problematic, how serious, how far-reaching, how damaging this was. So let's do a quick review. And as I said, before class, I have to stop at 7 o'clock, and then we'll show the video, one of chapter 13 of Father Chicada's video summaries of his book, Work of Human Hands. Anyway, looking at our outline for today, let's review some very basic things regarding sacramental theology. Four things absolutely needed for a valid sacrament. You take one of these away, what happens? The sacrament is not there. I mean, think about it this way, if I can give you an example. Let's say I'm doing a baptism, you know, and I follow everything. Everything's perfectly done. You know, all the ceremonies being fulfilled, the exorcisms, the holy oils, the putting the salt on the tongue. I even have water and I pour it. And I change the words just a little bit, or maybe I omit that at all. Everything else can be perfectly in place, but if I don't have the essential words for the baptism, there's no baptism. So these are these four things: matter, form, intention, and minister. We're really schooled in that in the seminary, because we're talking about the validity of the sacraments. We have to get it right. And it's not that complicated. I mean, some aspects are, but generally speaking, it's quite simple. That's why we can talk about it in class tonight. What's the matter? It's the material needed. Form, the correct essential words of the sacrament formula. Intention, at the very least, that of doing what Christ or the church does. And this is why, for example, if you are dying on a desert island and there's no, and you haven't been baptized, there's only an atheist to baptize, how is that atheist able to baptize you when he's not baptized and he doesn't even believe in baptism? How is he able to validly baptize in an emergency, Ken? If this is what you do and you explain how to do it, you say, Mr. Atheist, please, you know, pour the water over my forehead. I've been studying to be a Catholic. There's nobody to baptize me except for you. Would you please do that? And Mr. Atheist says, yes, I'll do it. I don't believe in it, but I'll do it. As long as he does what the church does, it's a valid sacrament. Yes. Yes. Okay, so the issues regarding the Mass, looking at these four things, the matter is generally not going to be the problem. Well, at least not when it comes to the consecrating of bread and wine. As long as they have bread and wine, they at least have the matter, but huge problems with the form, huge problems with the intention, huge problems with the minister. Do you mean the new mass in Latin? Or the vernacular? Yeah, the same three problems are there. They might have bread and wine, but they're not going to say the right words. Well, actually, they've recently started using the right words again. We're going to talk about that. But for 44 years, they weren't. For 44 years, it was for all. And in 2012, they said, well, we really should be saying for many. Right. No, it's still, that might be okay now, but three and four are still the issues. The intention, there's no intention to offer atonement for sin in the new mass. It's still not there, whether it's in Latin or in any other language. They took that out. Remember, the Protestants can't stand that idea. So the intention was changed, and then the priests aren't validly ordained. So only one has to be missing. So again, to recap, matter, form, intention, and minister. And by this, we don't mean Protestant minister, of course. We just mean somebody who's able to administer that sacrament. In an emergency, all of you can baptize. Right? In an emergency. If you come across a dying child, even if the parents don't consent, the church says, go ahead and baptize if you can. If it's an adult, then they need instruction, at least on some basics. The only other sacrament that lay people can give would be if they're contracting marriage, because the man and woman give the sacrament to each other. By the fact that they're entering into the marriage, they bestow it on each other, and the priest is there as the church's official witness. Okay? But penance, Holy Eucharist, extreme unction, you have to have a priest, and then you have to have a bishop for confirmation and holy orders. That's the way Christ set up the sacraments. Okay? Yes? Pardon me? When can a priest perform confirmation? Pope Pius XII issued a special decree saying that pastors of parishes may give lawfully and validly confirmation if somebody's in danger of death and the bishop can't get to that person. I'm not sure how that applies nowadays, so if a priest does it if somebody's in danger of dying, I would ask the bishop to repeat it, you know, to make sure, because we can only be sure nowadays if a bishop does it. Okay, so This is why it's so important to make sure that the proper sacramental rite was given. And nowadays, there's a problem we have, in definitely in the United States, but other parts of the world, that we have priests who come out of nowhere and say, I'm a priest. What should we know? Who ordained him? Was it a valid ordination? And if somebody wants to see my ordination certificate, I have no problem showing it. I think people have the right to know that, because there have been dubious priests, so you don't know who ordained them. You don't just take them on face value, because there have been some real charlatans, you know, some real pretenders. Yes, I can tell you exactly. Bishop George Musey ordained me a priest July 1st, 1986. He was consecrated bishop by Bishop Moises Carmona April 1st of 1982. And Bishop Carmona, I don't know the exact date, but it's documented. He was consecrated bishop by Archbishop Took. So most of the priests that you know, we stem from Archbishop Took. He consecrated bishop Bishop Gerard de Laurier, Bishop Carmona, Bishop Zamora. And then these bishops passed on, you know, other passed on, for example, Bishop Pivirunis, he was, you have Archbishop Took consecrated Bishop Carmona, and Bishop Carmona consecrated Bishop Pivirunis. All completely documented, public knowledge, 100% verifiable. And people have the right to know that. Okay? So, number two, generally, there are no concerns about valid matter in the consecration of the wine. All that is required is wine made from grapes. Now, if it's made from something else, you can have wine made from other things, such as oranges. Oh, corn wine. I thought you said oranges. I didn't know you can make wine from oranges. Yeah, because they're corn wine. I think you can make wine out of potatoes. Dandelion? Okay. So these would be invalid matter, but I haven't heard any. Well, I've heard of corn wine, and that's invalid. But also, for lawfulness' sake, it's supposed to be naturally fermented. Just so you know, a lot of wines on the market are artificially fermented because they can make them ferment faster, and then you can produce more and make more money. But the wine we use at Mass, we make sure we buy it from sources that say this is naturally fermented, because that's the way Christ set it up. He established it that way. Yes. I don't know what the I know they just add additives that speed up the fermentation process, and the church doesn't allow that. You know, and it has to be naturally fermented. Yes, so you have to put some yeast in it to start it off. But there's other foreign substances. Who knows what they put into our food nowadays, right? Yes. Yes, right. We could, you know, one of these years we'll have St. Michael's Vineyard. We've got to get back to getting our bees on track to make honey and candle wax, and then grow our own wheat. I mean, look at, we grow wheat here all the time. Okay. Anyway, so no real big issues about valid matter, but form, intention, and minister, huge issues. Okay, now the invalidating words for all were introduced in 1968, even before the new rite was promulgated in 1969. This became the focal point of the renowned Patrick Henry Omler's first major work, questioning the validity of the masses using the new all-English canon. And I wish we had the time to go through this. I like to pass this book around just so you can have your hands, you might say, on this, a copy of the 1969 book, and it's magnificent. This layman, Patrick Henry Omler, who was trained very well in his Catholic faith and knew his theology and philosophy very well, applied everything very correctly, and when he heard that in 1968, when it's no longer for many but for all, that bothered him so much that he said, I have to do a study on this. And what he found out was frightening, because that makes a change in the essential words. And even though they might say the right words in the consecration of the bread, by the fact that they know they're going to say the wrong words, the for many, in the consecration of the wine, that invalidates the Mass. And he develops that very well. He quotes St. Thomas Aquinas over and over again. It's filled with references to theologians, teachings of the Church, Pope, St. Thomas Aquinas, Catechism of the Council of Trent. And what's absolutely clear is you should never, ever monkey with these words. And then, so this was his first major work, and he continued to write articles, and he found out that a Protestant heretic who didn't believe in the Holy Eucharist at all was used as the authority to quote, say that when it says for many, really Jesus meant for all. And Before, since we don't have time to get into all of the deep theology here, and I'll start passing this around. Again, I wish we had the time to just do a thorough study of that. And by the way, I've shown you the book, his collected works. I mean, that's one of the books in his collected works. It's a white book that thick. And he kept on writing and kept developing and kept showing, you know, the multiple problems with the new words, with the new canon, and so on and so forth. But anyway, what was I saying here? What train was I on? I don't want to be on the one that left the station here. Okay, yes. Yes, and it was the fellow's name was Joachim Jeremias. And he supposedly gave the proof that when we see this, really it means that. But this Protestant heretic, Joachim Jeremias, he didn't study Catholic theology. And he should have studied the Catechism of the Council of Trent, which says, "For with reason Jesus did not say for all, because the Eucharist is for the many." Okay, so let's just use some common sense here. Let's say I'm doing a baptism. I'm baptizing a baby, and I say, "I baptize you, and I baptize all people in Spokane in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Will that work? Shouldn't the essential words talk about the one who it's for? Am I baptizing all the babies in Spokane? I'm not. I can't. It'd be good if we could, but we'd have to do it all individually. Yeah, and I would have to have them all there and do and say the proper words over each one. But you see, this is why it wouldn't make any sense to say, "I baptize all in Spokane." And it's the same reason why we do not say "for all," because our Lord did die for everybody, but the Catechism of the Council of Trent and constant church teaching said the Holy Eucharist is for the many. Right? Most of the world, unfortunately, is not Catholic. They don't believe in the Holy Eucharist. So the Holy Eucharist cannot be for all. Yes, Jesus died for all, but the Holy Eucharist is for the many, and it's only for the many who are saved. So let's take a look at this, and I just have to very quickly say, this is number two, the height or depth of irony. On May 9th, 2012, Benedict XVI commanded that the four many be restored. I mean, how could they get it so wrong? I mean, isn't that reveal the greatest degree of incompetence? Oh, for the past 44 years, we got it wrong. We've been having invalid masses. Could the church ever make a mistake like that? Could the true church, a true pope, ever make such a terrible mistake? Can't. It's impossible. And he also says, and I have here the four-page, I don't have time, the four-page letter that he wrote to the German Bishops' Conference, in which he says, you know, we really should go back to "for many." We've been doing it wrong. He didn't quite say it that way, but he admitted it. And he says, yes, Christ said "for many." So again, unbelievable egg on their face that they would get it so wrong and say, why were we following this heretic for 44 years? Yes. They wouldn't be valid.
Well, I mean, if it was valid, everything
was done. No, it would be, if it was a valid mass, he'd be putting the valid Holy Eucharist in people's hands. But again, the problem is, remember, go back to letter A, number one, those four things. After 44 years, they went back to the right form. Actually, I don't even know how widespread that is. Does anybody know if this is going, was this fixed Did they do this in all the vernacular translations? Does anybody know? I know the Latin stayed for pro multis, but all of the vernacular, the English, French, German, Spanish, Italian, Portuguese, Nigerian, whatever, all the Chinese, all of them said for all. The Latin said for many, but again, the problem is the intention was changed. They took out atonement. So you can say the right words, but if you don't intend to do the right thing, you see, here's an example. If I was doing a baptism and I said the right words, but in the rest of the ceremonies I was saying, nothing really happens. This is just a nice ceremony to do. What am I doing? My intention is going against doing what the church does. So anyway, very quickly, because we're running out of time here. Number three, the essential words, you can see it right there. For this is the chalice of my blood. I have it in Latin and in English. This is the chalice of my blood of the new and eternal covenant, the mystery of faith, which shall be shed for you and for many unto the forgiveness of sin. And those words come from our Lord. Okay, so let's keep moving on. Number four, the De Defectibus Decree of Pope St. Pius V states clearly, if one should take away from or change anything of the form of the consecration of the body and of the blood and the very change of the words should not mean the same thing. He would not confect the sacrament. There is no sacrament. You know, words are very important. Maybe the human response sometimes is, it's just the change of, from four letters to three letters. What's the big deal? This is an example Patrick Almner gives in his book. He says, how much of a difference would it say that when a building was burning that many got out and that all got out? Is there a huge difference there? If we say many, that means there were people that didn't make it. So many and all is a huge thing. It does not mean the same thing. Okay, St. Thomas Aquinas, this is number five on page two. The blood of Christ's passion has its efficacy not merely among the elect among the Jews to whom the blood of the Old Testament was exhibited, but also for the Gentiles. For not only for the priests who confect the sacrament or others who receive or partake, but likewise for those for whom it is offered. And therefore, he says expressly, for you, for the Jews and for many, namely the Gentiles, or those who partake, and for many for whom it is offered. So, for 2,000 years, nobody's questioning this. Everybody knows it's pro multis, for many. The Catechism of the Council of Trent says, we are firmly to believe that it, the form for the consecration of the wine, consists in the following words. This is the chalice of my blood of the new and eternal testament or covenant, same thing, the mystery of faith which shall be shed for you and for many to the remission of sins. Of these words, the greater part are taken from Scripture, but some have been preserved in the church from apostolic tradition. It is plain that no other words constitute the form. With reason, therefore, were the words for all not used, as in this place the fruits of the passion are alone spoken of, and to the elect only did his passion bring the fruit of salvation. One of the lamest things I ever read was this so-called expert, biblical expert, saying Jesus didn't have available a word for all, so he had to use many. And actually, that's a falsehood, because what does our Lord do say before that? Take this all of you. So the word all was available for our Lord, and so is the word many, and our Lord said many, yes. Okay. Yeah, can a pope command the wrong words to be used? See, not even a pope has that power. He can't change our Lord's words. He can't change our Lord's teachings. He can't change the substance of the sacrament. And what they did is they changed the essence of it. Well, yeah, what if they don't recognize it? I can't judge their degree of culpability, but whether they realize it or not, they're still hearing the wrong words. You know, all the good will in the world won't make up for a lack of proper sacramental, you know, the proper words. You know, you can have the best intentions in the world and still be doing something wrong. So God will have to be the judge of their culpability. But, you know, let's keep looking at, you know, what the church has taught before. You know, and there you have their own admission. We got it wrong. They won't say that, but they said we should be saying for many. They got it wrong. They, by their own words, by their own admission, in Benedict the 15th, Ratzinger says, these are the words of Christ. So we've been vindicated. He admitted he did it wrong. They did it wrong. But after 44 years and of invalid masses, you know, where's, and you know, the problem is, you see, Benedict XVI is a hardcore modernist. And if he had only stuck with what the Catechism of the Council of Trent had said, they would have never even dreamed of changing it in the first place. But you see, modernists have a contempt. They mask it pretty well in some cases, but they have a contempt for what the church has taught before, and they're ignorant where they should know, and then they want to then they end up foisting it on the people who blindly go along. Yes. They say the 1962 Missal, the Fraternity of St. Peter says the 1962 Missal, but their problem is they're not validly ordained. And we're going to study that later on. So they have the right matter, they say the right form, they have the right intention because it's the 1962 Missal, which wasn't substantially alterated. Altered. I was making up a word. Scratch that from the new words come up with in 2018. Okay. They don't, because their bishops were ordained in the new rite, so they can't make a valid priest. But we're going to study that later on. That comes later on in the book. But again, remember, and we should know this like the back of our hand, what are the four things needed for a valid sacrament? Matter, form, intention, and minister. All four have to be there. Otherwise, you don't have the valid sacrament. Okay. And so, I mean, could you get any more clear than those words of the Catechism of the Council of Trent? For this reason, therefore, were the words for all not used? Can we get any clearer than that? For all was not used. And constantly the church reiterated this, theologians reiterated it, and then, oh, you know, we're liberated here in the 1960s. Oh, what does Joachim Jeremias have to say about it? I could care less what Joachim Jeremias says about it. He's not a Catholic, he's a heretic. Why is he being used as the authority here? The church had it right all along. And again, after 44 years, they have to say, we got it wrong. Doesn't exactly inspire confidence, does it? Okay, St. Alphonsus Liguori, number 7. For you and for many are used to distinguish the virtue. By the way, does for you and for all even make sense grammatically? Ask yourself. For you and for all. Does that make sense grammatically? Do I need to even say for you? Don't I just say for all? Doesn't all include you? Right, but if you're going to say all, you don't need to say you. But you can say y'all. No, but our Lord said, for you and for many. You see, the many, does that's proper grammar. But it doesn't even make sense grammatically to say for you and for all. Should have been for you and all the others, if you're going to be so anyway, multiple reasons, multiple problems. Let's just be glad that we have not succumbed to this problem. Okay, so St. Alphonsus of Liguori, they are used to distinguish the virtue of the blood of Christ. In other words, we know that our Lord redeemed everybody. Everybody's redeemed. But who, does that mean everybody's going to be saved? No. Get back to St. Alphonsus Liguori. They are used to distinguish the virtue of the blood of Christ from its fruits, for the blood of Christ is of sufficient value to save all men, but its fruits are applicable only to a certain number and not to all, and this is their own fault. And I mentioned this already. They kept, you know, in 1968, they kept pro multis in the Latin, but again, the problems are with the intention, and then with the invalidating of the rite of ordination, which we'll talk about later. Okay, and then number 9, are the words, for this is my body, for this is the chalice of my blood, sufficient of themselves for validity? That's what some people have said. Well, maybe we don't, as long as he says, this is my body, this is my blood, it happens. And Patrick Omler addresses that fantastically in his book and his subsequent writings. And he proves that it's not enough to say those. And all the theologians before Vatican II sometimes said, you know, speculatively it might be enough, but every one of them said you have to always say the whole form, and you have to say for many. Everybody agrees for all would invalidate it. Okay, or if that question come up, they would say that's a substantial change. So I will have to stop here today, so we will put on Father Chicada's video. This is from chapter 13. It's on the canon of the Mass. And so encourage you to watch all of them. Last week or the week before, I included a link to where you could watch all of those.